Praise God. Amen. We all go through times like that, don't we? When things don't work out or things, we're going through dark places, but I tell you, He's always there. Never leaves us, never forsakes us. And when we learn like Paul to be able to praise Him in the prison at midnight, then we've made some progress spiritually. Open your Bibles, please, in your Old Testament, if you will, to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 29. I'm going to look there in just a moment. We'll look at some things together. Are you glad you're here? Say amen. Amen. And again, I want to say thank you to all our teachers, those who are teachers' aides, bus drivers, everybody who's involved in our system of public education and Christian education, those who are involved in Christian education. We love you and we're praying for you and we ask God to bless. And we want to say how much we appreciate. There's no way to pay you for what you do. And if it had not been for that lottery that's made every one of you rich and gave you all the materials you need to teach with in public school, we'd sure be in a mess, wouldn't we? If you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in the middle of Wyoming I'd like to sell you. But our teachers struggle financially. They struggle to buy their own materials. But we're so very proud of them and love them and thank the Lord for them. Amen. And God bless you for being here. Thank you for praying for us in the revival. Our missionary, Brother Wayne Warren, who has the Christian retreat and the Vacation Bible School, took a special offering for them a couple of years ago, trying to coordinate and help with another family down near Davis, North Carolina on the coast that wanted to do a Christian ministry like he's doing. He came in contact with a little mission church and they made contact with him. And so he went down and started preaching for them, 4-hour drive every weekend to go down to preach in that little mission church. They had 6 people, and that is 6 if they had a good Sunday. Sometimes he drove down and had 3. But God's blessed him. He's gone back and forth, he and Miss Jackie, and the brother and sister who have the Christian retreat, they had a little place where they could stay on the weekends. And they've been going back and forth, work of that church. The church facility itself has gone through a reformation. It had sat there and it was just grown up and moldy and everything just ill repair. And so in 2 years they've gone through and they've kind of renovated the building, painted it. They've landscaped the outdoors and got out all the briars and bushes and it's a beautiful little church building. And we had a great meeting 6 years ago, oh, excuse me, 2 years ago. They had 6 the first Sunday he was there. And on Monday and Tuesday night, we had over 40, about 45 on one of the nights. And then we had a great number on Wednesday night, had a really good revival and thankful. So you're all a part of that as you pray for them and help them in that mission work. They've had folks saved. Had 3 little old girls saved. I think the oldest one's 12, but they're sisters. And they sang every night in the revival. They got saved and got baptized since he's been there. And they were a blessing to see the liveliness of them and the power of God on them. And I thank the Lord for that. Hope you'll be back in the evening service tonight at 6:30. Tonight we're going to look at Zechariah, the last 3 chapters of Zechariah. And in those chapters, we'll see the miraculous conversion of Israel in the end time. And it's going to be a blessing. I hope you'll be back in the night service. And then Wednesday morning, for the first time in 3 weeks, I'm looking forward. I have missed so all of our services, but especially our morning services on Wednesday morning. We were away on vacation, and then we had Vacation Bible School. We didn't do it, and then I was in a meeting last week, and we've had good speakers, and God's blessed, and you've been faithful to come. But I'm sure looking forward to getting back this Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, so you be here for that. And then Wednesday evening, of course, and we'll have a great time through the week. So you continue to pray for our friends. And so many requests, I won't share them all this morning. I do want to especially ask you to pray for Bobby and Lee. They're at home recuperating, but he's battling kidney stones all day yesterday. And so please remember him again in prayer about that. But also, Floyd Strickland is going to have a hip replacement on Tuesday. So please pray for Sharon and pray for Floyd and for that upcoming surgery. Let's bow together before I read a text this morning, will you? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful to be here this morning. Thank you for your people. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, would speak this morning. Thank you for a wonderful Sunday school hour. Lord, for the great singing of the choir and the congregation, Brother Craig, just now. Thank you, our Father, for your promises to us and your word. And I pray now that, God, that you'd give your anointing, our Father, not by might nor power, but by thy Spirit, Lord God. I pray you'd help us do a work in my heart, the heart of all these, our friends here this morning. And God, I pray, God, that you'd help us in the strong name of Jesus. Lord, I plead your blood over this place. I pray you'd sanctify it with your presence, bind every devil and every demon. And God, I pray that, God, you'd speak. Lord, please don't let any man, woman, boy, girl, in the sound of my voice here in the media audience, die and go to hell without hearing a clear presentation of the gospel and have opportunity to be saved. I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak this morning through me to your people. And God, thank you for dealing with my heart, speaking to me. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, our brother Barry was dealing with temptation and dealing with David. And I continued to deal with David this morning. I thought it quite unusual. Not unusual. It's not unusual at all. God's working things together. But God does wonderful things like that, puts the music and the messages and everything together. But in the context of what I've been reading, I share with you from time to time things that I do in my devotion that just bless me. And so I'm going to share something with you that just the last few days that God spoke to me about as I've been reading through the Chronicles of the Kings. David was God's man. God chose him to replace Saul, his king. As a young boy, he anointed him, had him anointed to be king. It was 20-something years later before he actually became king. And David had his problems. But David was God's man. He was a man after God's own heart. And Dr. Billy Connoy said the only difference between Saul and David was David did learn how to repent and get right with God. And we see that in what Brother Barry shared with us this morning. But David was mightily used of God. And so he has now come in this latter chapter of Chronicles that he's pretty much subdued all of their enemies. He's come down to the end. The Ark of Covenant that was in the tabernacle has been in a place called Obed-Edom. And God's been blessing there. And David had a desire to bring it back to Jerusalem. And so he did. That's a whole different message about how he brought it back and all they went through and how they had to learn they had to do it in due right order to get the ark back. But they bring it back and it's in a tent. But now David, having defeated most of the enemies, he said, it's not right for me to live in a nice house and the ark of God to be under a tent. And so he had in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. But God told him he couldn't build it, that God had chosen, and God said, I've chosen your son Solomon to build the temple. And so when you come to these chapters that I've just called to you, 28 and 29, we'll look at 29 this morning. David has been told by the prophet that God said, you're not going to be able to build the temple. You're a man of war. You've shed much blood, but your son Solomon will rebuild the temple, or will build the temple and have the place for the ark and for the altars and all of that and for worship. And God's going to do that. And as I read through that and all that David had been through, I noted a few things. I noted in the first place that David was not bitter, that God didn't have that job for him. He had a job to do, but it wasn't to do what he wanted to do necessarily. He wanted to rebuild the temple, or build the temple, but God was going to allow Solomon to do that. So David was not bitter and he was not discouraged. And rather, he got in and said, praise God, I want to do this. I want God to do it through my son. And I'm thankful. And so he begins to gather all the materials. And in this passage of scripture, I'm going to look in chapter number 29. But before I do that, I want you to look back in chapter 28 and at verse number 20. David has begun to gather, and if you read through, it's an awesome thing that he did. He gathered literally tons of gold and silver, precious stones, everything. He got all the people that were needed. God had sent him skilled laborers, so he has the materials, he's got the laborers, he's got everything together to build the temple, got everything ready for his son. And God's already told him it's going to be his son that's going to do that. So look, if you will, please, I want you to note what he says to him in chapter 28, verse 20, by way of introduction. David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee, and thou shalt finish all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. He's challenging his son, Solomon. Now, Solomon, God has orchestrated everything. I've got all the materials, we've got people in place, and everything's ready. And he said, now you be strong, be of good courage, and don't be dismayed. God's not going to fail you. He'll be with you till you finish this task. Now look back. I do want you to look at something else prior to getting into the message. As he is telling the people about God's choice of his son Solomon, and he in turn challenges Solomon as well. Notice what he said in verse 9 of chapter 28. And thou, Solomon, my son, notice what he says. Now, God's got everything ready. God has a plan. God's going to build the building. God's going to build the temple. He's got all the material, got all the people. But there still is personal responsibility on the part of Solomon, who is the choice of God to do that. Now, you think about that. Everything, God's provided everything for him, and he's even asked him to do the job. But now David challenges him from a personal standpoint. And you must always understand that it is our relationship with the Lord that makes the difference. I don't care how much experience you have. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care how much talent you have. I don't care how many this building and all the facilities we have. All of that, none of that really matters unless we have a right relationship with the Lord. And if we ever forget that, we're in trouble. It's our relationship with the Lord that makes a difference. And notice, if you will, now what he challenges his son in this earlier part of chapter 28. And thou, Solomon, my son, watch, know thou the God of thy father. Know him. Now, he's been raised in the house of David, and he's been around godly David all his life. But he said, you know him. You've got to have a personal relationship with him, son. You've got to know not just about him, but you've got to, like I preached last Sunday, to know the Lord. And then he goes on and says, and serve him with a perfect heart. You've got to keep your heart right. Love him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And so your Christian experience as a husband, as a wife, as a student, as a teacher, as anything, is a matter of the heart. And we've got to walk with the Lord. No, I don't care what you're doing. If you're a mechanic or a farmer or a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer, a housewife, your relationship with the Lord, you'll not have any kind of success or be blessed until you keep that right relationship with him. Know him. Paul said that I might know him, the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want to walk with him and know him as well as I know my family. And then he goes on and said, and serve him with a perfect heart. That's with all of your heart, a pure heart. Watch this. And with a willing mind. Obey him. Do what he wants you to do. And son, you serve him, know him, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth the hearts and understandeth the imagination and the thoughts. He said, when it's all said, now where do you reckon David got that idea? Well, when he was anointed king as a boy, all the sons of Jesse came before the prophet, and God said, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him. And then they brought in the little shepherd boy, David, and the statement's made, God doesn't look on the outside like people do, like the appearance, but God looks on the heart. And see, what I'm saying is this, God is interested in your relationship with him, and it's your heart relationship that really counts. And he said to him now, he said, not only are you to serve, know the Lord and serve the Lord and serve him and with a willing mind, he said this, but notice now, and it said, he knows the thoughts, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee, and if thou forsake him, he will cast thee out. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build the house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. He said, now David, he said Solomon, God's interested in your heart relationship with him. He's going to give you wisdom. We'll find that in the book of 2 Chronicles. But it's your heart relationship that really counts. And you have to have a right relationship with the Lord in your heart and know that. Now, let's come to our text. And I'm not shifting gears. I'm kind of running all this together. Look in chapter number 29, and I would love to read all the chapter, but what happens is David begins to testify about what he's given, what he's raised. And then he said, out of my own treasure I gave. And then all of a sudden, God moves on the people and they begin to give. And then really a revival breaks out because of the giving. They have yielded their will to the Lord. They're excited about what God's going to do, that God's chosen Solomon, that the temple's going to be built. And so they all get excited about it and love the Lord. Notice in verse 10 of chapter number 29, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever. And listen, they're all rejoicing and praising God. But now look down at verse number 13. David is now praying to the Lord. All this overflowing of gifts to the build the temple, the people excited, they all rejoice in praising God. And David breaks out in prayer. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all the things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. David's heart now is really illuminated and open. He's worked hard to gather the gold and the silver and the timber and the linens. He's orchestrated getting thousands of people ready to help build the temple and all those things. And the people now, and then God moved in his heart out of his own treasure. He began to give money and offerings and silver and gold, everything to the temple. And the people followed suit and they're all excited. But now in this prayer, David comes to realize that what we're giving you is already yours. We're rejoicing, we're happy, and we're glad because we gave, but the truth of the matter is, we're just giving you what's already yours. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were our fathers, our days on the earth are as the shadow, and there's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name, cometh of thy hand, and it is all thine own. He said, you know what? Before we gave it to the Lord, it was already yours. You let us have it, you let us handle it, but God, everything we've got, you gave us, and we've given you back that. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I've seen the joy of thy people, which are presented here, to offer willingly unto thee. David says, Lord, you allowed me to be a part of this. And God, you filled my heart with joy. And what a joy to see the people respond and them too giving willingly. But now here's my text, and I'll get it. We'll get through and get out. Listen to what he says in this last statement. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. David has just been blessed and overwhelmed by what God's allowed him to do. At the magnitude of the money and the gifts and everything that the people have been moved to give, and at the joy that he has, the joy the people has. And then it begins to dawn on him that this is all God's anyway. And he said this little statement, and here's what got my heart. And he said, Lord, keep this forever in the imagination, that is their thought life, of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee. He said, Lord, help me and all of our people to always remember that it's all from you. It's all from you. Ricky wants me to give him a sermon title, so he came in this morning. I said, here's my sermon title, and don't forget it. And don't forget it. David said, all of this, look at all of this, gold and silver. And we've worked hard to get this and get it together. We really felt like we'd done something. But the truth of the matter is, God did it. And the truth of the matter is, it was all God's. Here's this piece of property, 25 acres paid for. This beautiful building, parking lot, sound system, everything paid for in 7 years. But we must never forget that He did it. We must never forget that it was His. And whatever we've done, it's His. Don't ever forget it. Always remember. Keep it in your heart. Remember that it was Him. And here are the little devotional thoughts I wrote down. Don't ever forget that He gave you your life. I'm here today, and I had a birthday years ago, had a birthday when I was born to Henry Cashwell and Janie Cashwell. But the giver of that life was God. He gave me life. He allowed me to be born in America, allowed me to be born in the United States, allowed me to be born in North Carolina, allowed me to be raised here, allowed me to live here and have this wonderful country and all the family and friends I've had. You better remember where your life came from. Well, because your life is a vapor. It'll appear for a little while and then it'll vanish away. But God's the giver of all life. Remember that He made you like you are. Did you know of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, there's not another one just like you? Terry and Perry are twins, but they're not just alike. One of them's good looking and the other one's... but anyway, there's nobody in the world like you. Did you know that you're as vast and as different and diverse as all the stars in heaven? There's never been another you in all of history, and God created you. You are so very, very special. You're unique. He fashioned you and formed you while you were yet in the womb. He gave you all of your characteristics and physical features and even your life. He gave you life. And don't you ever forget that He gave you your life. Don't you ever forget that He's provided you all of your food. We have a lot of folks are doing prepping now. They're getting ready for the bad time that's coming and storing up food. Nothing wrong with that. We've canned tomatoes and done all those things and all those things in the pantry. But do you know that everything you and I've got, every mouthful of food we've ever had, every from the very first milk we had to the very best steak we've ever had, God gave us every bit of that. Don't you ever forget it. He said, Lord, I want you to put this in their mind and heart forever, that all of this is yours. Everything, every can of potted meat, every can of Vienna's, every Bojangles, all of that. Ain't He a good God? Say amen. Every bit of it. Don't forget it. Don't ever think that you worked hard enough to deserve it. Don't ever think that you paid your own way. He's done that. Don't ever forget that He gave you life. Don't ever forget He's provided you food. Don't ever forget He gave you your job and skill. Whatever you're doing, whatever your life's calling is, and I am convinced that there are many people who don't know the Lord, but God has put in their heart to be policemen and to be doctors and to be nurses and to be teachers. And I believe that God does that. When you study this, David gathered together people who God had already given gifts and skills to be able to do what needed to be done. And that's the way He does the church. He sends people who could play the piano. I never could do that like Jennifer or anybody else. I couldn't play the guitar and sing like Craig. But God has prepared teachers and workers and people who can build and people who can do heating and air conditioning and all those things. And all of that, understand that whatever you're doing in your life, that God gave you that job, God's given you the skill, and God is the one who did that. Everything you've got, your life, your food, your abilities, your skill, whatever you've got, it's all His and He gave it to you. He is God. He gave it all to you. Don't you ever forget that He gave you your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your grandchildren. The Bible said children are heritage from the Lord. Don't you ever forget that God has entrusted them into your life. God's given them. Don't you ever forget it. Pray that God would ever keep it in our mind, in our imagination, our thoughts, in our heart, and that we would prepare our heart to seek Him, because He's given us all of our family, all of our loved ones, all of our friends, all of those people that have been a blessing to us over the years. He put those people in our lives. Our teachers, like Zeb Denny, my high school English teacher, all of those teachers that I've had, pastors I've had, all of the people that you've had in your life that had a positive influence in your life and were a blessing to you, God put those in your life. God did every bit of that. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it that He did that for you. Don't you ever forget that God and all that He's done for you, that God is the one who gave you grace and mercy. Don't you ever forget that He's the one who's forgiven your sin and pardoned you and given you new life in Christ. You see, before you were ever born, He knew you. Before you were ever born, He knew every sin you'd ever commit. And He knew you and He knew what you would need. You would need a Savior. And so what He did in eternity past, in the determinate foreknowledge of God, He gave the covenant of grace whereby you could be saved. And He sent His Son, and He bore all of your sin in His own body on the tree. And Christ suffered and bled and died for you. He died for you. He suffered and gave His life for you. He knew you. And my dear friend, don't you ever forget that you caused Calvary, really. It was your sin. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, and He suffered and bled and died for us. And He said, Lord, keep that ever in their imagination and thought. Don't you ever forget that it was He who forgave us and pardoned us and gave us everlasting life. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. And the Bible says that the Lord, even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, He quickened us, gave us life. He did that. When we couldn't do a thing about salvation, we couldn't do anything, didn't care anything about it. Bible said there's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. But I'm thankful for the grace of God whereby He dealt with us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Don't you ever, ever forget that He saved you by His grace, and it's all of Him, and thank God for that. Don't you ever forget that everything that you've ever received and the ability to serve Him and every act of service you've ever rendered to Him was all orchestrated by Him. He gave you the ability to teach or to do crafts or whatever, that every little thing you ever did, He was in it. He gives you the gifts to do those things. And to serve Him, whatever little bit of accomplishment any of us have seen in our lives or our ministry or our family, God did that. God did that. For every offering that you have ever freely given to the ministry of this church or missions or wherever you've ever given anything to an individual, it was God. He provided it to give through you to other people. It's God. He said, Father, Lord, I pray that You'll keep this ever in their imagination of the thoughts of their heart. What? That God's done it all. It's all His. He's orchestrated everything. He's put everything together. Every victory you've ever had, every victory I've ever had, is all because of Him. And don't you ever forget it. If God would be gracious to us this morning, and He'd put it in my heart and your heart, that we'd be reminded over and over again that He gave us life, that He gives us all of our food, that He gave us our family. He's given us our abilities, our skill. He's given us our job. He gives us our daily breath. He gives us family and friends. He gives us a place to serve. He's given us everlasting life. He's given us forgiveness and pardon of sin. Every time we've ever served Him, it was Him. Every time we've ever been a blessing, it was Him. Every victory we've ever had, it was Him. If we can keep that in our heart, what will it do for us? There are five things. And I'll be through, and I'll do quick. Number one, it will humble us. I think of all the sin in all this Bible, I think the sin that God maybe hates most is pride. Pride. Proud. of self-righteousness, proud of what we are and who we are and what we've done. God hates pride. Matter of fact, the Bible said He resisted the proud. And if God would answer this little prayer of David for His people and for me and you, that we'd ever keep in our imagination, in our mind, and our thoughts all the time, that it's all Him. We couldn't do a thing, couldn't be anything, couldn't do anything, couldn't say anything if it weren't for Him. It would humble us. It'd humble us in the first place to recognize that we're nothing without Him. Without Him, we could do nothing. It would humble us to this point to understand that He chose to use us. God chose the foolishness of preaching. You think about this. Millions and millions of people around the world that could have stood here this morning saying, but God in His sovereign purpose allowed Craig Allen to stand here and sing and gave him the gift to play that guitar. Oh, it's a humbling thing that God would pick out of all the people. I was preaching one time and had this fellow in church. He was quite a comic. And I said, I ain't understand yet why God called me to preach. I'm not good at this, that, the other. My brother was a colonel in the army. God should have called my brother. And my brother spoke up and said, amen. But God, listen, if you'll keep in your mind, if God will be pleased to let us remember that it's all of Him, He's done everything, He's provided everything, it's all of Him, it will humble us. Number two, it'll help us. It'll help us. How will it help us? It'll help us to keep going. If He's the one doing it and He's the one providing it, we don't have to gauge by success. If He's the one doing it, it'll help us. If we understand, I don't have the ability, but He'll help us. It's Him. I remember Dr. Bobby Robertson. I don't guess any of you got to meet him. LaVon did, and some others who went with me to see Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby's in heaven now. But his church is in Walkertown, Gospel Light Baptist Church, Walkertown, North Carolina. Ran about 4,000 or 5,000 there. He had an eighth grade education, and they started in a little storefront building, and then they had a little white church building. And then they built this auditorium that would seat 1,500, 2,000 people more. And he said the first Sunday, he walked in that thing during the week, just on Saturday, I think it was, he looked at that huge, massive auditorium and he ran back in the back and got on his knees in his office and said, God, I can't do this. He said, Lord, I was all right. And then that little storefront, I was all right in a little white building, but God, I can't do this. I don't have no education. I don't know nothing. I'm backward, bashful, and everything else. God, I can't pastor this people. God, you got to put somebody else in to pastor this. He said, I can't do this. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, Bobby, you ain't done it no how. I've wanted it the whole time. And he said, boy, God broke me. If you'll remember that He's in control, it'll help you. Because it's not dependent on me, it's not dependent on you, your ability, my ability, our means, are His, but it's His means. It'll help you. You'll keep on keeping on. When the rain comes, the storms come, difficulties come, problems come, if it's His work, if He's the one doing it, whether you see results or not, you'll be faithful. It'll help you. Number three, it'll heal you. If you can get this in mind, that it's all of Him. Keep this in their thoughts and imagination, their heart all the time, that it's God. This is all yours. You've done it all. It will heal us. Well, it'll heal us. It'll heal us of discouragement. We don't have to be discouraged. He's in control. I'm just supposed to yield to Him, let Him do it, and whatever He does, He gets the glory. It'll heal me of depression. I don't have a lot of pressure on me to produce. I don't have to get depressed if things don't go right. If whether people say they like you or they don't like you or whatever, if He's in control, it'll heal you of being depressed and discouraged because you're just gonna trust Him. I know He loves me. I know He's got a plan. I know He's in His time, things are gonna work out. I know good and well it is. And it might be tomorrow, it might be next week, but I know it's going to help me. I can keep on keeping on because of Him. The fourth thing, if I'll do those things, it will honor Him. If I recognize every day of my life and all of my thoughts that it all belongs to Him and He's doing it all, it will honor Him and give Him glory. I love the book of Nehemiah, and you know I've preached on it all the time about building the wall and everything, but there's one statement that just blesses me. So having built that wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem in 52 days, it said, our enemies were once cast down in their own eyes because they realized this work was wrought of God. And what blessed Nehemiah was that the people around them saw that they didn't have the ability and they couldn't do it, but the job got done and God got all the glory. And if you'll keep that spirit and attitude that it all belongs to God, it's all Him, He's one, I'm telling you right now, God will get all the glory. God can do that. He'll get the glory. But then it will heighten your worship. If you recognize that it's all of Him, then everything you have is given to Him. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that they rejoiced greatly. The people rejoiced and David rejoiced. When they came to realize that it was all God's in hand, God done it all, they rejoiced and worshiped Him. And in the final analysis, here's what the Bible said. God's seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we come to a place of worship, we have pleased Him. I underlined in my Bible this morning as Brother Barry was teaching, he pointed out to us, and the thing that David did displeased the Lord. Now, let me ask you an obvious question. Today, would you rather displease the Lord or please the Lord? I'd rather please Him. And the Bible teaches us that He's seeking such to worship Him. And the way we please Him is to worship Him and adore Him. And if you'll let God make this thing real to you, that everything you have, everything you touch, everything you are, everything you've ever experienced is God's. Anything you've given to Him was already His. It will heighten your worship of Him and adore Him and praise Him. I'm going to turn over to Psalms number 97 and read just one little short verse here for you this morning. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, and let the multitude of islands be glad thereof. The Lord's reigning. He's in control. He's the one who's provided all this. And David prayed, Lord, keep this ever in their thoughts, in the imagination of their mind, that they might prepare their heart for Thee. That is that it's all His, He's in control, and we're ever thankful for everything He's ever given us. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Just something God blessed me with this week. It's all Him. And understand how grateful we should be that God's done it. It'll cure us. It'll cause us to be humble. It will help us. It will heal us of depression. It will honor Him. It will heighten our worship. If we ever have the right perspective that it all belongs to Him. Our Heavenly Father, I believe, God, I minded You this morning. I believe that Brad has, Brother Greg, Jennifer, and the choir, and we've tried to obey You. Now, Lord, these are Your people. God, they've been so faithful to You. They've loved You, loved people. God, help us to continue to do that. God, I pray that we'd ever be reminded, though, that everything we've ever given was already Yours. Everything we've ever accomplished was You. Every victory won, You did it. And God, You've provided for us everything we've ever needed. What a God. Lord, we love You and worship You this morning. And we magnify that name which is above every name. Would you stand for just a few moments? We're going to have a special prayer here in a few moments, but I want to say this to you while you're standing with your heads bowed. If you're here in the building or in the internet audience this morning, you've never trusted Christ, I want you to understand that before you were ever born, just as David made preparation for the temple to be built, God had already set in motion and made perfect preparation for you to go to heaven. He gave His own Son, prepared Him a body, clothed Him in human flesh, allowed Him to suffer the ridicule and the mocks of men, the agony and the suffering of the cross, to suffer and bleed and die physically, but also spiritually, to bear all of your sins in His own body on the tree and suffer and die for you, that you might have everlasting life. Everything's ready. It's just a matter now of you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that little statement. I underlined it several times in the text I read, where he told Solomon, be strong and of good courage and just do it. Sometimes for us who are Christians, we just need to do it. Not depending on us, not depending on our abilities, our skill, but if God's got something for us to do, do it. He's promised to be with us. He's promised we wouldn't fail. He's promised to provide everything we've needed. It's all of him anyway. He's just looking for somebody to be a willing vessel, make theirself available. Maybe God's been dealing with you about something. Maybe something in regard to the nursery work or the children's church work or the upcoming Christmas programs or anything in ministry. Maybe God's got something he wants you to do. I'd invite you this morning to slip around this altar, bow before him and acknowledge that. Maybe God's reminded you this morning that sometimes we get prideful about what we've accomplished or what we've amassed or our background, or we're very of our successes. And I pray God would humble us to realize that without him, we could do nothing. I'm talking about everything from plumbing to preaching. We couldn't do anything without him. And he's done it. He's helped us. He's gifted us. We'll be ever humble, ever thankful. Maybe you want to just acknowledge that this morning by getting around the altar.